Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Apple TV, it's not just for Game of Thrones anymore.
Spoiler alert!
Plus, I'll have a couple of great apps for you to help you watch the eclipse coming up next Monday.
And if you want to create your own Lonely Planet guides from your photos, now you can.
It's time for iOS Today! iOS Today is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code iOS Today to save 20% off any order. And by 23andMe. With 23andMe's genetic service, you can learn what percentage of your DNA comes from places like Italy, Finland, East Asia, or Africa. Visit 23andMe.com/twit. iOS Today time! And iOS includes, of course, the iPad, the iPhone, the Apple Watch, and Apple TV. Mm-hmm. And I was going to show you all my favorite free apps, the best games of 2017, but I just installed iOS 11 Beta 5, and so I guess we should do something on the TV.
I guess so, yeah. We should.
Whoops! No, I knew we were doing the TV.
Well, we ignore the TV sometimes, and you should never ignore the TV.
I'm ignoring you.
So, I love my Apple TV. Of course, there's going to be a new one that's going to come out, hopefully, soon.
Yeah, there's lots of evidence that Apple has, and the evidence is mostly coming from this new iHub. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? The iHome.
The HomePod.
iHome-ha-ha.
HomePod.
The HomePod, because people somehow have been able to look at the firmware of the HomePod and spot a 4K Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. The HomePod is a leaker.
It's a leaker.
It's a leaker. Well, so
fire it.
So the reason this is all coming out, is some employees were testing it, and then Apple had to put the firmware on a public server.
That I thought was a little odd, but it leaked out, and we got a lot of information from the HomePod.
So if you're thinking about an Apple TV, maybe we'll give you some reason to get it or not.
I need that. I think I tweeted about a year ago when I got a 4K. I got a very nice 4K UHD OLED TV. I love it. But what I didn't know when I bought it is it means you upgrade everything else. You have to get a new AV receiver. You have to get a new Roku. You have to get a new Android TV. You have to, everything has to be upgraded to get to 4K. Everything. I did. I got all new stuff, new Chromecast. And then one little thing in this my AV cabinet that I can't upgrade is the Apple TV. It's still 1080p, which is a shame because I have a lot of movies on Apple TV, and I'd love to see them in 4K. We have seen also in the Apple Store some people's movies in your store that you'd already bought. They list them as 4K downloads as well. So that, to me, is good news. It means that some of the movies you may have bought as an HD movie will be UHD, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes. But now, we'll show you some stuff you can do with your current Apple TV.
Do you want to start, or do you want me to start?
You probably have better stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, we talk a lot about, kids today, and they're spending so much time alone on their screens. And we, as a family, like to game together with our Apple TV. And there's a game that we like to play. Mostly my kids like to play, and I like to watch and help. It's called Machinarium, and it didn't start on the Apple TV.
No, in fact, I never played this on the Apple TV. I have it on my computer. It's on the Mac. There's also an iPad version. I think we've even had it as an iPad pick.
Oh, really?
But what I love is it's so beautiful, it deserves to be on a big screen. Mm-hmm. And it is the kind of thing you can play collaboratively. Of course, I am no longer paired with the Apple TV.
Do you want to go to the settings?
So let's go back. We have Megan brought in, she stole from her boys the controller.
The Steel Series Nimbus.
Highly recommend you get one of these if you're going to play games on an Apple TV. You can play Machinarium and all the games with the remote. It's just not as much. Or can you? Yeah, you can.
You can, but it's not as fun.
It's not as fun. Although, I think for this game, actually, the remote might be more suitable because it's such a simple game here.
So you're making a robot. You're making yourself. You are the robot, and you're making yourself. Your quest is to find your girlfriend robot.
Yeah. So this little beetle, I'm in a junkyard right now, and I'm trying to get my legs, to be honest with you. I got a few pieces, Notice I can make my head go up and down. And I can talk to things by putting the little plus. That's why I think this is a good one for the remote, because it is a, it's not what we call a first-person shooter. So I'm talking to the Beetle. I'm saying, hey, Beetle, I need my other leg. Notice this is language independent, which is fun. Even kids who can't read could play this. So he says, oh, that mouse you swallowed, you mean this one? That has your leg in it. Now, I don't know what to do with it. Should I put it on me? Should I?
You could try, but he'll tell you if you're wrong. Or, no, yeah.
He's helping me. He puts, yeah, he's putting my legs on. Yay.
Oh, good.
Robot. This is a walkthrough book. It's programmed to show only a page. Oh, they're talking about the help.
So. Yeah, so you can get one. You can get a hint, and then the, yeah, that book will
give you a guide. Use it only when you're really stuck. Now, what is this, these little?
Those are showing you to walk there.
Ah, a magnet. A magnet. Let's go over. Should I go over to the magnet? Oh, look. Now. It's stuck to my head. There's some really... This is a fun game. You can see it's beautiful. It looks like pen drawings. They kind of... Static becomes alive when you get to the robot and the articles to interact with. Sometimes you can combine two items in the inventory. So should I walk? Should walk over here? Can I climb up here? There's his head extender.
So the reason I like playing this as a family is because you're all sitting around the couch saying, do this, no,
right.
No, do this.
This is a good group game.
Yeah. So I think you need that. Did you already get the twine?
I did. I swallowed the twine.
Okay. What? Press on that thing, that, turn that spout on that, that thing, the thingy thing. Can you turn?
Oh, yeah.
So you want to cross that, right?
Yeah, but I need to push it. He shakes his head. He doesn't like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, maybe I'm too tall. No.
Can you be even taller? How tall can you get? Can you get taller?
Yeah, I can get taller. Should I get even taller?
You're missing an arm, too, aren't you? Or no?
Oh, I might be, but it... Everybody at home is watching, saying, because they've
opened the mailbox, says Eric Duckman.
You know what's funny is I've played this game all the way through, but it was so long ago I don't remember, which is fun. I mean, it means you got some good playability. What mailbox? There's a mailbox? You mean my hints? Let me get a hint. I can get one hint.
Yeah, get
level.
One hint.
The
tub?
What? So you click on stuff until you figure out.
Oh, you need to fill water? Fill up the water?
Oh,
turn
I need
the
to fill
spout?
Up.
But you have to climb up
to fill
there?
Up the water. Oh, I should have done this first. There's the spout. No. Can I climb up it?
I don't know. Can you?
Anyway, you get the idea. We don't need to watch us.
But it's $4.99.
Kevin, show the full... Yeah, see? So it's on when it's on your TV, you see, it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I think this is a fun way to play. Again, it would be a lot easier if you had this. And the Steel Series is one we recommend, but there are a number of these. And some of them even work with Android as well as iOS, because they're just Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a big deal. I'm just going to...
You have to go in settings to pair the Bluetooth.
Do I? All right. Well, we don't need it anymore. No. What else? Should I show one?
Sure, or I could. Would you go next? Your turn next.
A TV is a useful thing for watching TV, but did you know you can also watch your security cams?
Oh.
So I have a Nest cam, and I imagine this works with other security cams, but this is the one I've got. We can look at what's going on in... let's see if there's anybody in Leo's office right now. So you're watching on your big screen TV. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, these are the... This is the house. Somebody's at my door. Look at that. I could see somebody at my door.
Oh, Sarah. Look, we're always sneaking in on Sarah.
Sarah's throwing out those flowers. But I can go back in time, too, and I can see. So this is the full Nest interface. I think that's kind of cool. Let's look at the backyard. So there's the backyard. I put this out here originally. Oh, and I can control settings. I put this out here originally because this neighbor, see at the top of the hill, used to sneak down.
And do what?
Chop down our trees that were blocking his view or kill him. So, I just put it offline. I don't know what I did. You get the idea. But that's nice because you can control the whole thing remotely, and you can watch it on your TV. So if you're sitting in the living room and you hear a noise in the backyard, you can just fire up the Nest app and see what's going on in the front yard, the backyard, wherever you have a Nest cam. Of course, obviously, Nest cam not included.
So,
shall I
Sarah.
Give you the remote?
Sure. Okay. So here's, we have
this
to...
is like the talking stick. We could do this from now on.
I'm never giving this up ever again. Okay, so we do the show normally at 9 o'clock. That's when I'm here, anyway. Which means it's very hard to get to the gym.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
So this morning...
Here's a little tip.
Yes?
Later in life, when you come down with some, you know, osteoporosis, you can sue me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I had to be here at 9 o'clock?
That does not seem... because you couldn't go to the gym.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'll be dead by then. So.
Noted.
Noted. Little pro tip there. Okay, go ahead.
So I worked out. I got up. Our Apple TV is in our bedroom, and I fired up the Zova.
There's a lot of fitness apps on here. Now, what is Zova?
Zova is it's a fitness app for your iPhone, your iPad, and for your Apple TV.
And you know what's cool? I'm actually on that in a little picture window.
I'm the
before picture.
So first you log in on your iPhone and you tell it what kind of workouts you want and whether you want to just feel better about yourself or lose weight or get more strength. And then it will give you these workouts. So do you want a full body workout, flexibility,
sure.
cardio?
We've come a long way from Jane Fonda, right?
I know. I did some cardio this morning.
Popping a tape in the VHS and...
I know.
And dancing to the oldies.
So let's take it easy with some
active. So this is an 8-minute workout. That's neat.
And it tells
I saw there's an Apple Watch connection too.
Yeah, so it's connected to my health data and it's connected to my Apple Watch. And it shows you a preview of what you're going to do. Okay. And then it says what you're going to do next on there, too. So, and then it times you. So,
oh, this is great.
Yeah.
So you could do a 7-minute workout or a longer one.
I did a 10-minute workout this morning.
That looks hard. Did you do that?
I did a different one, but yeah.
Leaping punch.
Yeah. It's really, it's good just to shake it up, you know, because you can't just do the same exercise. I don't know how you do it. It seems like you do the same, like you have your machines that you do all the time and that works.
No, I go to a trainer 3 days a week. And the nice thing about the trainer is this is basically like a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
The trainer is responsible for mixing it up and, you know, picking exercises that are appropriate and things like that. But not a trainer's expensive. A trainer's $50 a session or whatever. This way you can do this. You buy the app and you've got a whole bunch of sessions in
right
there.
And the app is free and you get free workouts.
Oh.
But then if just one little 10-minute free workout, if you really want to do it, it's $9.99 a month. And considering a gym membership is probably about, you know, at least $40 a month. I mean, it goes up to a lot higher than that. A trainer, way more than that. So I think $9.99 a month is a good price for this.
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
There's also yoga apps. I mean, there are a lot of apps that you can use. Is FitStar available on the
Apple TV?
Apple TV. I love FitStar.
Yeah.
That's more masculine. This is obviously a lot of female role models. FitStar's Tony Gonzalez, the football player, is a role model. And it's very similar to this.
In fact,
it's got a video of the workout. The nice thing about FitStar, and I don't know if this does this, is it'll say, okay, how hard was that? That's nice. That's like working with a trainer. You give it feedback. Mm-hmm. That was really hard, and then maybe they'll tone it down. Or gosh, that was awfully easy, and they'll beef it up.
Yeah, I wish just watching it would get burn calories.
Frankly, I used to do that. I would just watch fitness tapes and feel like I was doing something. This is great.
Yeah,
what's this called again?
It's called Zova, and then it has a personal assistant on your iPhone called Zora.
I really like this.
How much is it
for more exercises? So it's
$9.99 a month for unlimited.
So it's a month. A lot of them do that. This kind of monthly subscription.
So yeah.
And I would do that.
Yeah.
I think that's really
good. What I like about it is you don't need any props. Like, you don't need, you don't even really need a mat. You don't need weights. You don't need a strap. You don't need all the other extra stuff.
Right. If you do like straps and weights and Pilates, I used for a long time, and it's a subscription. It's very similar. You can get it on the Apple TV, Pilates Anytime, it's called. It also is on Roku and stuff. And that's one of the reasons you almost need that with Pilates is you can do Pilates by yourself, but it really is better if you have somebody walking you through the exercises, the tempo and the pacing. So another one that's similar, I think it's $10 a month, Pilates Anytime. And there's a yoga app, too, which gives you poses. And yoga is another one where you really do want somebody. Actually, I don't know if I would recommend doing yoga without instructor present. You can, once you become proficient, obviously, because it shows you poses on the TV, but instructor does so much about it. It's probably
true
of Pilates,
too.
Yeah. You really want to get it. Once you know what you're doing, I think then those are appropriate. These aren't complicated. I mean,
no.
I can do that.
But yeah, I mean, I am looking forward to the future Apple Watch, Watch OS, because I think that they have talked about how they're going to have fit more fitness in.
Right.
Because right now I do a lot of these kinds of workouts, and it just measures it as an other workout. Like it doesn't, or you know,
yes,
it doesn't
me
unless
too.
I'm running, walking, swimming, or biking.
Biking. They have they have rowing on there. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of the kind of gym exercises too, but they don't have weight training. They mm-hmm. don't have so you know. Yeah, I agree. But I think Apple realizes that fitness is the future for the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. That's really the big category for mm-hmm. the Apple Watch. Now that you've worked out, maybe it's time to get something to eat.
Yes.
I love the idea of before you watch, you know, Netflix and chill, mm-hmm. wouldn't you like to buy some food? Maybe I could have some pizza or calzones. Let's get some calzones. So this is actually my mom's account. This is, by the way, just a little tip. I have an older mother. She stopped cooking. She loves to cook she's a wonderful cook. But as she gets older, it's harder for her to shop and cook. So I thought, and I'm not there. She's out on the East Coast. I said, let me set you up. I put my credit card in it. I said, Mom, anytime you want something to eat, just fire up Grubhub. They deliver it, and it's great. And the grandkids come over sometimes because they know she's got free pizza. And so she does order a lot of pizzas. Pizza Queen Smith, that looks good. But there's a huge variety, depending on where you live. But this is Providence, Rhode Island. There's a huge variety. Are you in the mood for some, how about Yan's Cuisine? Let's get a scallion pancake. I don't know. That just sounds good. You know what's going to be funny? When Mom gets a scallion pancake, steam dumpling. Let's go for health, okay? Some steam dumplings. Add that to the bag. And let's see. I don't want to give her. I think something healthy here. Let's get some soup. Oh, soup is always good. You like, what do you like? Egg drop, wonton?
How about chicken
rice?
Vegetable soup.
No, boring. Boring. Boring.
Tomato egg?
I like egg drop.
I'm
Isn't
a fan
that
of
good?
The egg drop as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, no, you got to choose a size. You know, she's a small woman, so I want to get a small size. Okay, now I've ordered some stuff in the bag. Where's the soup? Did I see the soup go in the bag? I don't know. How about a dinner combination? Let's get her some broccoli with garlic sauce, fried shrimp, steamed dumpling. We already got some dumplings. Boy, I'm getting hungry. Aren't you getting hungry just looking at this?
Yeah.
Chicken lo mein. I think she'll like that. So add that to the... Oh, wait, I got to choose a... Do you want an egg roll with that or crab rangoon?
Crab rangoon.
I don't know what crab rangoon is, but it sounds delicious. Apply choice. And then add that to the bag. And now I'm ready. I can order. I can have my Chinese food. I won't do that. But you see here, delivery info, 45 minutes, $5. I love the idea of having that on your TV. Right
you
before
pause your Game of Thrones?
Pause Game of Thrones. Get some pizza. Resume. Right?
Love it.
Grubhub. That's one of many. There are quite a few. Now, you have a cooking app.
I do.
Let's hand over the talking stick.
Thank you. The conch.
The conch.
where is my... It's Panna. I'm just going to try this. Panna. There we go.
Sometimes I forget that I can do that. It's such
a
nice feature.
Well, I haven't forgotten because I have the Android TV now, which is my 4K TV, and you can't talk to it. And
yeah,
I do
it hurts.
Not like that.
It's painful.
I have used Panna before. Let's see. Learn step by step. That's a video.
Lacquered chicken and red mole. Ooh.
So these are.
So this is a hipster chef.
They're chefs. They're known chefs. I wouldn't necessarily say they're well known chefs.
They're not famous, but they're not like just some guy off the street.
They've won James Beard Awards, et cetera.
Well, that's pretty good. I'll take that.
You do have shopping lists, so you can add your shopping list, and you can search by dish type. And
do they walk you? Will he walk you mm-hmm. through it?
And you can pause it,
so you can learn how to cook mm-hmm. it, kind of from this as well as search for recipes.
Right. Do you know Dory Greenspan?
No, but mm-hmm. I want to. Mm-hmm. She's got a nice kitchen.
She does.
Yeah.
So this is just a video. Let's actually.
This is the
play with this a
introduction
little bit.
To it. I don't think you're logged in. I hate to say it.
Mm. Panna.
See, I've used Panna before, but you're not logged in, are
Let's
you?
See.
Ah, restore purchase.
You did all this. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, let's see if I can just start a 30-day trial. No,
because then you have to sign up. Anyway, we get the idea.
Yes, you get the idea. You have a cooking app as well.
I do, and this one you don't have to sign up for. Although I think if you create an account, you'll have some advantages because you can save recipes and things like that. But this isn't as fancy. It doesn't have the chefs and all of that stuff. This is called Yumly, and I exited out.
It has your yums in it.
Has your yums. That basically, it's a recipe browser with great pictures. This is like shopping from the comfort of your couch. Avocado and tomato salad. You know what I've decided? We used to buy French fries, frozen French fries, and I don't think it's as healthy, and it's certainly more expensive. You can totally make French fries at home. So I've just yummed that, okay? So that means you didn't see it because my head is on top of it. But there's a little yum button when you press it. If you press play, it'll add it to your yums, and you choose. Let's see, that's a side. I'm going to add to my sides, and now it's in my cookbook. If you want to, let's look at the cooking. If I slide down, you could see in nutrition information. You can see this the steps. I think this is but it's not as, it doesn't give you that whole thing that yours does, right? Of a video of somebody preparing it and all of that stuff. So this is really more just a on-screen cookbook. But I think I like looking at these beautiful pictures. I don't know about you. My mom, because she was such a good cook, she would go to bed with cookbooks, and that would be her bedside reading, right? I love, and I think I inherited that from her. I love looking at these different things and look at that. Ooh.
Yeah, I need someone to show me how to do everything.
You want the instruction.
And I need to be able to pause it when I'm figuring it out. And
so there's two good ways to go. Mm-hmm. So you got, if you need some help cooking, you've got, what was it? Panna, P-A-N-N-A.
Panna.
And if you're just looking, browsing recipes, my biggest problem with cooking is menu planning, mm-hmm. right? Now I hand over
the talking stick.
The talking stick.
How do you feel about Facebook on the Apple TV?
At first, I thought it was dopey.
It's mostly just video, so it's like you're not reading people's status.
Yeah, see,
or anything.
But now, having played with it, I think that's good.
Yeah, so I can see my cousin's little daughter wishing happy birthday.
So it's this is like the YouTube app, except it's personal videos.
Right, so here my friend Julia shared this video. Oops. Or let's see, my friend Kate and O Doctor
shared
this video.
Jimmy
so
Fallon.
It's like, oh, okay, two people shared this, two of my friends shared that. It's probably worth watching.
Yeah.
And then James.
James DeRuvo, who does our show notes for the radio show.
Oh,
my God. That is the weirdest massage I've ever seen. That is one of them naked cats massaging somebody's neck.
So you're seeing all the videos that people have posted personally or commented on
So it's like a curated list of videos, viral videos.
Right. So, Big Turkey that Glenn's wife posted.
We have a lot of turkeys in our neighborhood.
And then here are people that I'm following. Brene Brown, or this is someone that I'm following, shared this video. I follow The Ringer, so I see those videos. They post a lot. Me and Mark Zuckerberg are friends, so I get to see what he posts. Me and Dan. And then here are the creators that I follow.
This is neat.
And then things that are recommended based on things that I like, or just that I've posted before.
This is good. I almost want to sit down and just look at your Facebook feed for the next hour.
I know, don't you? And so, instead we'll just watch some puppies.
Puppies.
It's a lot of puppies.
Puppies.
It is a lot of puppies.
Notice we didn't do the obvious. I mean, everybody, I think, knows about Netflix and Showtime and HBO Go or HBO Now. Here's a little pro tip that I got on Sunday from Ashley Esquetha. Did you know here on the West Coast we can watch the Game of Thrones at 6 p.m. the East Coast time if we use HBO Now or HBO Go?
They put it up on their apps
after
That's
it
what
is
I do.
On the East Coast. Kevin, you knew this and you didn't tell me?
I thought everyone knew
right. Well, I thought that was a good life hack. Is you could watch Game of Thrones. One of the reasons I want to do that is because there's all the spoilers on Twitter at 7, 8 p.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
We West Coast folks have to keep our eyes shut for spoilers. Okay, enough crocodiles.
But did you see I could like it with my remote? I just hold down.
Oh, I like that. You could do it with the smileys.
And I could share it if I wanted to.
It's nice.
Facebook, it sucks you in. We could just sit here and watch.
On Pride Week, I gave everybody a rainbow.
Okay, do you, what else do you have?
I think I'm I've used up all of my picks. Yeah,
I
think.
Okay, well, I have a tech support question that came from Dan from Sanger, California. This is Apple TV. He says, I'm using the Apple TV third generation on a 42-inch Vizio TV. I'm having an issue where when I switch inputs to the Apple TV, it doesn't wake up. I have to unplug it from power and plug it back in before I can use it. I've tried changing cables and inputs, and it doesn't make a difference once it's up and running.
He called the radio show, too.
He did?
I think so.
He really did.
He was so adamant. Either that or it's a common problem.
Well, maybe it is, but I mean, this is the third generation. This is almost two generations. We're in the fourth.
It's not that.
It's not that it's too old?
No, it's not that either.
What is it?
So this is a problem with HDMI, I think. My diagnosis, my professional diagnosis is... as you know, when you switch to the Apple TV, and this is the tip I told him on the radio, it's still not going to show anything until you press a button and wake it up. The Apple TV sleeps, and so the screen will be blank. It doesn't even put a bouncing apple or anything up. One little tip that's probably useful, if your TV supports something called CEC, and there's different name, you know, unfortunately, every company has a different name for it, some proprietary trademark, but all of it is the idea that when you you can have a device commandeer the television. Now, that can be annoying, but it works very well with the Apple TV. So if you have an Apple TV hooked up to a TV via the HDMI port and the TV supports CEC or sometimes they call it, I think, Link, look through your menu settings. You don't have to do anything. You just press the button on the Apple TV, and the Apple TV will send a signal to the TV, switch to me, and I will take over from here. You can even do this with an CEC-enabled AV receiver. I do. So the easiest way for me, and this might work for you, is not to change it via the remote or change it from the TV, but do it from the Apple remote. Pick up the Apple remote and press just the select button or any other button, the home button, and it will wake up if you've got CEC turned on your TV by sending a signal through HDMI. And I found that often is the best way to go to the Apple TV, not the other way around, which is tune the TV properly, tune the AV receiver properly, and then wake up the Apple TV. So that's tip number one. But the problem you're having is something called HDMI handshake, and it's a problem with all kinds of devices. HDMI... Do you remember the old days of modems when you dial up and it go? Remember that?
Yes.
That's them talking. It's called the handshake. And what happens is that they have to agree on a protocol and a speed and all of that. There's this very almost identical handshake going on with HDMI. The TV says, well, all right, well, what resolution can you do? Well, I can do this resolution. Okay, well, what resolution can you do? Well, I can do this resolution. Well, what resolution should we use? Oh, let's use this resolution. And sometimes that handshake isn't triggered properly on one end or the other. It often fails. And when it fails, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. So I would say try the trick of turning on CEC and having it Apple TV wake up the TV. That's in a way, I think that's a better handshake because the Apple TV says, hey, you, wake up, switch to me. And once it's done that, if it does that, then you kind of, that implies that they're talking to one another.
Do you ever lose your remote?
All the time.
We've
put a number, the number two on it. That'll help us not lose it.
Well, what if you put a tracker on
that
it?
That would be a better way to do it. I love the tracker. I've got a tracker in my briefcase. I've got a tracker on my keys. I've got trackers in my luggage. You could put a tracker on a remote. You know, that you could just kind of the new tracker Pixel is the smallest, lightest weight Bluetooth tracker out there, and that means it doesn't. You know, it's not a big deal to have it attached to things. I have my latest thing is I put my tracker on my new camera. That way, if I accidentally leave it somewhere, my phone will. You know, so I have. Well, I should show you what the tracker is. The tracker is, there's two different ones. There's the Tracker Bravo, which is about size of a quarter, anodized aluminum, very lightweight. And the new Tracker Pixel, even smaller, even lighter. It has pixels that light up. That helps you find stuff if it's under the couch, you know. So you ask your phone, where is it? The phone says, well, it's over here. And then you look under the couch and it's lit up. It's very easy to find. So you pair your tracker to your smartphone, Android or iOS, with a tracker app. You can pair up to 10 different tracker devices to an iPhone. And here's a nice thing. You can share tracker devices. So if you share something like a remote control, you can have it in your tracker app and I can have it in my tracker app. We can both look for it. So a couple of things you can do. One is the separation alerts. So I put it on my camera. The last thing I want to do is leave my camera at a restaurant, right? So I have it set up that if my phone gets out of Bluetooth range of my camera, my phone goes, hey, whoa, hey, you left something behind. And it says on there, it says my camera. I do the same thing with my keys. You see, I have...
Are you a janitor also?
Yeah, I seem to have a lot of keys, don't I? I don't know. I don't know what their keys do, but this is the key. This particular little key is the most important one because it's the car key, and it's my YubiKey, which unlocks all my stuff. And there's the tracker pixel attached to it. I can find my phone by pressing the little button on the tracker, and even if the phone is silenced, which it is, it's going to let me know, hey, I'm over here. Come get me. By the way, you can program that ringtone if you want. To anything you want. So I think that's so cool. So that helps you. By the way, my phone, as you can see, I just silenced it. Still doing it, right? Even though it's silenced. I think that's important. What else can I tell you? Oh, this is the best part. So that's Bluetooth. That's separation alerts. That's within 100 feet. But as often happens, let's say I left these keys. They fell out of my pocket at the beach, right? And they're in the sand. And I didn't hear the separation alert. Or I didn't have it turned on. Now, when I get home, I can still fire up the tracker app, and it'll show on the map the last place my keys were. Oh, I left them on the beach, and I can go back. But what if somebody then says, oh, look, Leo left his keys on the beach. I'm taking them, and I'm moving to Rio de Janeiro. My tracker app is going to say, you left them on the beach. I'm going to go to the beach. They're not there. But here's the beauty part. There are 4.5 million. That's actually, I think that counts old. I bet you there's more than 5 million, easily more than 5 million tracker devices out there. They have the world's largest crowd location network. That means everywhere somebody's walking around with a tracker app, and Kevin, if you zoom out, you'll see it's not just the U.S., it's everywhere in the world, everywhere, even Rio de Janeiro. So if somebody walks by with a tracker app, the app spots the tracker and sees the identifying number, and then pings my app and says, your keys were just spotted here in Rio de Janeiro. I'm flying down to Rio to get my keys. So that is the beauty of this. This is also the only tracking device that has a removable battery. A lot of these, you buy them, battery wears out after a year, and you throw it out. That's not okay. Trackers are very affordable. I want you to check them out. If you go to a 30-day money-back guarantee, if it doesn't work for you, if for any reason you don't like it, you get your money back. So there's no risk at this. But I do want you to go to THETRACKR, thetracker.com, and use our promo code iOS today. Actually, load up your basket with all sorts of stuff. The trackers, you can put them on pets. They have a waterproof cover for it. You can get them engraved if you want with your pet's name and number. Or you can even have a little picture on there. We have some trackers that have our album art on. Load it up and 20% off the order right off the top if you use the offer code iOS today. THETRACKR, thetracker.com. We thank them for their support of iOS today.
So we talked a little bit already about the HomePod firmware that released.
What a leak.
And we learned some things about the home button on the new iPhone that we think it's going to resize.
Yeah, because it won't be physical anymore. Mm-hmm.
And there's tab bars that extend under it. I'm not exactly sure what that. This is from Steve Stroughton Smith, who's been really the one, the archaeologist of the HomePod firmware, I like to call him. And also something about the size of the new iPhone. So the new iPhone is the new plus size iPhone is going to be a plus-size screen, but it's going to be a little smaller. So we're not going to have this giant phone anymore. It'll be slightly smaller, but the screen size will be the same.
Would you like to see a video of it,
sure.
What it looks like?
Yeah.
This was sent to me by a leaker.
Oh, really?
He says, actually, that this is a dummy model of it, not the actual phone. But notice a couple of things. That sensor is stacked, right? The camera sensor is sideways from the existing iPhone. And that's because it will not only have two lenses, as our current iPhone 7 Plus does, but it's going to have the depth sensor that augmented reality needs. So there's actually at least three cameras in that sensor. And then let me press the play button. As he turns it around, you'll see this new bezel-less design. And we saw, let me stop it and go back a little bit. We saw in the bezel-less design, we've seen people talk about this notch at the top. Mm-hmm. So there's a very small frame, just enough, you know, so you can hold it. But the screen uses almost the entire front real estate. That's why there's no home button. You still have this issue, though. You need a selfie cam. You need look at all these sensors. There's multiple sensors up here, the proximity sensor. So what they're going to do is notch out the top, and you'll be able to get the screen go up on the side. And if you think about it with your iPhone, the middle top part doesn't have a whole lot of stuff there. I think it's the clock, the time mm-hmm. of day clock, right? Yeah. So you could easily move that over to the left or right and still have. So that's a lot less. Lot less bezel. You know, you take off this top and the bottom, the sides are be about the same. You get more screen in a same size factor. The other thing I'm sure Apple will do, as everybody's doing, and this kind of indicates it, this video, is make it tall, make the aspect ratio thin and narrow. This actually looks about like an iPhone 7 aspect ratio. So maybe they won't do that. Fingerprint reader? Yes or no? What do you think? This one has no evidence of a fingerprint reader on it. Apple reportedly was trying to get one to work through the screen and couldn't. But we are seeing evidence, including from the hub, that the face recognition will work. And this is what I had imagined in a way different from what you might have seen with, say, the Samsung Galaxy S8. With that and some of the Windows phones, you have to hold the... You have to put they put a little outline of your eyes on the screen, and you have to get the camera just the phone just the right distance and the right position, and then it sees your eyes and goes, "Oh, it's you." It's a very secure form of recognition, mm-hmm. but it's a pain. And I think if that's the only way you can unlock your phone, that or a password, mm-hmm. people are not going to want to do this. I turned that off, frankly, on the Samsung Galaxy S8. But the hub information. What is it?
HomePod.
Why do I keep calling it the hub? The home hub. HomePod.
I don't know why. The HomePod. The hub.
The HomePod. The evidence is that it will have live flat iris recognition.
Ah, yeah.
And that's a big deal because that means it will know it's you before you pick it up. Or if you're in a car driving. And you've got it in a holder here on the dashboard. You don't have to unlock it. It'll just say, "Oh yeah, I see your eyes." Mm. If it can do that, and if it can do it quickly, that will explain why Apple can afford to abandon what is a very fast, effective way of authenticating the fingerprint reader. So that was encouraging.
And how well do you suppose it will work identifying my identical twins from each other?
Oh, absolutely well, because your iris. Or iris scanning is harder to do. It's probably pupil, which is a little closer to the front, but it's still unique.
Even with
like a fingerprint,
shared DNA,
better than a fingerprint. Even with shared DNA, I'm told that that's the case. Well, I'm not a scientist.
We'll do official tests when they come out. Yeah. All right. So we talked a little bit about
the HomePod.
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 iOS 11, developer beta 6, and public beta 5 are out.
Just got 5.
And it was pretty fast. You did it right as we were starting the show.
Yeah, it was very quick.
Some updated icons.
It's rumored that we're going to get this, the day of the eclipse, next week. And that would explain why the very quick 4 and 5 releases.
What, you think iOS 11 is going to come out August 21st?
That's what they said. That's what the rumor is. Well, I don't know if I buy that, but that would be interesting. Usually you would expect it to come out with a new iPhone, mm-hmm. right? But the fact that they did 4 and 5 within a week of each other sounds to me like they're just tweaking it. You want to know what my favorite feature is of the new 4 or 5?
Is it the new App Store icon?
I really hate that. It looks like a campfire. Doesn't it look like it's the KOA logo?
It does look a little bit like
like we're welcome to our... I hate that.
iOS 11. It's made of sticks.
There are three matchsticks. No, my favorite feature is this. Of course, you remember swipe up brings up the
dock.
But actually, let me go into an app to get the effect here. And I probably have to swipe up gets you the dock.
Mm-hmm.
Swipe up again.
That's not
fine.
New.
What?
That's not new.
That's not new.
No.
Remember, we tried before, and that we had to do the double tap. That's not new.
Mm-mm.
Never mind. That's my favorite.
It's new to you.
Old feature.
It's new to you.
Really? That's not. I thought that was something they added in 4.
Sorry.
Okay.
There are some new features besides the icon, though. There is a new splash page for photos.
Splash page for photos. Let's see it. Let's see it. I'm gonna open my photos for the first time since I updated. Well, that you see all the time. That's no big
deal. I don't
know
what a new splash page for photos.
What's new? I see that every time they update photos.
Live. New memories. Go to memories.
Memories of London, September 30th, 2014. Petaluma, September 24th. The best of the last 3 weeks. Bartolome Island, Ecuador. Isla Isabela. The best of the last 2 weeks, in case the last 3 weeks was too far. Glen Ellen, 2014. Portraits of 2016. So these are, I love these. Let me look at the best of the last 3 weeks. I don't think there's anybody in their bathrobe here.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't
See,
think.
I don't really think that was one of the best of the last 3 weeks. I wouldn't really categorize that as my favorite photo. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry.
By the way, that's not the iPhone's fault. That's my fault. I was using my new camera, my new Sony camera, and I hadn't figured out yet how not to put my finger on the lens.
I do like the memories on iOS.
This is the best of the last 3 weeks. It's actually pretty cool. Mm. It was like the highlights, except for that one blurry photo.
Do you have like an in nature where it's like all the pictures you've taken outside?
In nature?
Yeah.
If I ever went outside, I probably
yeah,
would.
You go outside.
In nature.
Yeah, here's my in nature, Kevin. You can show it.
I have home.
All the times we go outside.
Oh, that's really neat.
That's not very much.
I didn't get that one. I think they probably decided to be too depressing.
And
for
you
me
know,
to see
if that. I'm sure you know this, but you can just press play and it makes a little movie of your photos.
Yeah, I do like
watch.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at that. In nature. The best of the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And does it play music?
Probably.
Let me see the best of the last 3 weeks. Aw, that's a kitty cat. And flowers. So many flowers. I don't know what that is. A fish tank. There's Lisa. The picture she said, don't ever let anybody see that picture. This is this is my favorite picture of my son blowtorching meat. We've decided now to cook. There's the picture you took of me. There's a picture of something I don't... Aw, that's Colleen. Hi, Colleen. That's a pretty picture. I should send that. I like this. I hate the music. The music sounds like some, you know... than the Today Show.
You can edit it. You know how to do that, right? And change the music.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
All right. That's enough.
See all of this. Okay. That was happy. I should do epic.
Do sad.
Sad? Really?
No. Do epic.
Do epic? What does epic sound like?
I don't know. Let's see what Henry Blowtad torching.
The best of the last 3 weeks. 3 weeks that will never come again.
In a world.
In a world where a boy sits out of focus. Can he be taught how to burn meat with a torch? Duck breast. I like how they do the things. But I would take some of those pictures
down.
Yeah,
which you can.
Yeah.
All right, show and tell time.
The paw, the cat, the sleeping mama. Okay. What's
I
that?
I got this.
Wait. Don't tell me.
What is it?
I need that because I've gone a little deaf.
Oh, yes.
And then A.
It's so this don't you stick it to your ear.
You put your iPhone in here,
yes,
and you can hear it.
Yes.
Right?
Or you could stick it.
Give me operator. Give me the White House.
Stick it to your head.
Oh, it's sticky. Okay, that's a hint.
Yeah.
That's a hint. That means we could just put it on something, and it would adhere.
Yes.
So it's a TV mount.
It's a Yes, it's a iPhone TV mount, so you can always... Uh-oh, I hope it unsticks. That was my car mount.
It's on there pretty good.
I recommend
as long as we're using it, let me just slide my...
So, yeah,
now, this works with any phone, it looks like. It's not...
Yeah,
it's
you
not,
can squeeze... Yeah, that's why, like, you squeeze it tight and it can move around
See,
a
I've always
bit.
Wanted to be able to mount my iPhone.
How much would you pay for this TV
$49.99.
$5.99.
Did you get it on eBay?
No, Amazon. It's just it's called the Kotech, Coetech.
Bad name.
I know. It is.
Or, no, Chotech.
Chotech.
Chotech. Oh, that's much better.
Chotech.
Or Choetech.
Choetech.
It's Choetech.
Well, obviously, they saved money on the naming, hiring a naming expert and branding.
It's one of those, too. I love these on Amazon, the four-paragraph names. This is the car mount Choetech universal dashboard windshield mount cell phone holder 360-degree rotation smartphone mount for Google Pixel, iPhone 7, 7 Plus, and more.
That's SEO for you. Put all the words in there. I really like it
for $6.
$6. It sticks, and you can, there's
now,
a button on the back.
In some states, it would be illegal to mount it that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you're not supposed
to. Like, you mean on their TV? Oh.
It just fell off.
Well, okay,
thank you for catching my phone.
Really, it has this thing.
No,
which
I know. I didn't do the full suction. So that's pretty. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
You know, one problem, though, I've noted, a lot of cars now have curvy dashboards. There's no flat area that's that large. Mm-hmm. That's about, 2.5, 3 inches around.
Yeah, my Prius is hard. I had to kind of put it in the corner.
Yeah, you have to find a flat surface.
And then there's
surface.
This button pops out your phone.
Oh, thank God. So I thought I'd lost it forever.
See, it goes like, boop, if you have a tiny phone, boop.
The Choetech. Very nice. You know what? I'm ordering one right now.
Okay, good.
It's so inexpensive. Is it one of those things where Amazon says, look, this is too cheap for us to deliver it to you, so order something else and we'll put it in
that box. Oh, an add-on? It might have been.
It might be.
Yeah.
And I hate those. It's like, no, I want that now. Well, we're not going to send it to you. You better buy something else.
I don't remember if it was. Trey Ratcliffe wrote us.
Oh, he said I misused Plotograph.
No, he said you could use it even better. He said... Here's how he uses the anchor points. We didn't talk about the...
We should point out, Trey is going to be on the new Screensavers to demonstrate this at some point soon. Oh,
okay, so but let's show Trey talking about his... Let's listen to.
Something just as simple as this.
Okay.
Press play.
Yeah.
It animates immediately.
We
knew,
all right.
Follow me over to my couch, and I'll show you how it's done.
Okay. So this is Plotograph.
So this is how it works. Very fun, very easy. When you first come in... You may want to click this little square down here, okay? That square will take you to different samples that you can use. Some are by me, yours truly. This is a picture of me that was taken just a few hours ago. I dress up, you know.
So what you were doing is you were masking everything and it's taking a little while, right?
Yeah.
But he says you don't have to do that.
Let's say you want to work on one like this one. You just swipe over.
Yeah.
And you're in there.
And then you draw your little anchor points, right?
To show how it works... Animate is already selected, okay? It looks like a dancing Sasha, and it is. So what you do is you just take your finger, take your man finger or your lady finger.
Take your man finger or your lady finger.
Yeah. They're not gender specific like that. That's how open
things.
We are.
Yeah.
And you just make little pointers like this.
Yeah.
Now, the longer the arrow, the faster it'll go, okay?
Right.
But this is usually a good length for my cloud shots. It doesn't just have to be clouds and water and this sort of thing. You can see they're all kind of starting to go in different directions. I try to follow the natural patterns of what you see here.
Wow, see, he makes mistakes, too.
He's as bad as we are.
We're going to slide these out. Slide these out. Slide these out. Now, watch what's going to happen. When I press play, it's going to look weird because it's going to start pulling all the solid matter out. Okay? So I press play. It looks really Inception-y, okay, which we don't
want.
Yes,
that's why I masked out the farmhouse.
Now, some people like to use a mask.
Like Leo.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the mask allows you to draw on the parts that you don't want to touch.
Right, that's what I thought you had to do.
Zoom in, zoom out to get more precise.
Right.
I don't like the mask because it takes too long.
Why'd you put it in there?
And sometimes you get kind of hard ripping edges anyway.
Right.
I like the anchor, okay?
Oh.
The thing that was on Popeye's arm. So you just click, click, click. You can use the Apple.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. This is another way. I did not show to do this. Mm-hmm. This is good.
If I want to be more precise, it's taking my time. I'd probably zoom in a little bit.
Yeah.
Make sure I get these anchor points correct.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And see how there's that little moon there? I'm just going to pop a few anchors around the moon.
So those are things
that
won't
press
move.
Play.
Perfect.
And now you see it stop.
Better than a mask.
The moon like that. Isn't
yeah,
that
better
nice?
Than a mask. Okay.
Now,
got it.
If it's too fast or too slow, you click the speed. And this is really great. You can't get this with a PC version. Or the Mac version, you can go faster or slower just right away, just like that. How cool is that? Okay.
Yeah, I do like that feature.
It has a cropping mechanism.
Yeah, that fixed it. So
yeah.
Perfect. So I had, and I'll show you.
We can look.
on mine, I had, remember I did this ship, mm-hmm. and my goal was to make it, let me just select these and delete them. So my goal was to make the sky and the water move, but not the ship. But notice I have a little defect here, which is it's pulling some of the ship along with it, which is obviously destroying the whole illusion. And also because I used a mask, clouds aren't moving right here by the mask because I masked them out. But instead, if I use the anchor and I put some anchor points right here, so I don't want that part of the ship to move, and maybe I put an anchor point here, then I can get rid of the mask. Let's erase this mask here. In fact, let's erase the whole mask and use anchor points instead. I think Trey's onto something. See, this is where the anchor point is. It's working. Now I just have to do some additional anchor points. That's easy to do. You just put them all around the ship. So thank you, Trey, for a much better way of doing it than I showed you. And I've also learned another trick, as you have, apparently, because you're shining a flashlight in my eye. Let's just see. Yeah, oh, I still have to do some anchor points there, but you get the idea. All right. Trey's watching, going, Leo, I tried to tell you, you put the anchor points on the outside edge. There you go.
He also invited
you. That actually did a better
you.
Job, didn't it? Look at that. That's much better. Yeah. PLOTAGRAPH. You know, it used to be pretty expensive. It was like that monthly subscription fee. It would be, you know, like $100 more dollars a year. It's $4.99 flat on the iPad and
That's
iOS.
Good.
I love it. I it's only for those pictures with clouds or water or something that might move. You know, it's not useful for other pictures, but it's great for those pictures. You can make some beautiful stuff.
Okay. I got one more question. You think you can answer it?
Mm.
Okay, good. It's Ernesto. He says...
I have not been given these questions ahead of time.
No.
I've been in a soundproof booth this entire
obvious,
show.
Actually. We don't actually talk except for during this hour and a half.
I try to avoid it.
I have been an Android user for quite a few years. The last phone that I used was a Moto Z Play, which was a very good phone for me.
Yes, it was.
I like Android for its openness, but I never liked the big phones. I wanted something smaller, but with a good capability. Just switched to an iPhone SE a week ago. I'm pleased with most of its features. I use Google Photos for backup.
Good.
On this device, it seems to have a problem uploading videos. I think it's because of the size or the format of it. Do you know if there's a way to improve upload videos to Google Photos for the iPhone?
Oh, I've never had any problems, Ernesto. I just, no, I'm not using an SE. My daughter is. I'll have to ask her. But, you know, the idea is that if you turn on, when you're in Google Photos, if you turn on backup, you can back up both stills and videos. So let's see, backup and sync. You know, maybe he's got this check mark here, use cellular data backup videos. I have that turned off. I don't want to use a lot of, and videos are bigger than photos. I don't know. I mean, mine just back up.
Mine do irregularly. Like it.
Well,
really...
that may be that Wi-Fi versus cellular thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's. But I have videos too. I don't know that. I think that it can be tricky. I've heard people having problems.
Here's one tip. So Android users, if you're using Google Photos and it's backing up, that's because it can always back up. The iPhone is much more aggressive about turning off apps in the background. So it will not back up. If you haven't used Google Photos in a while, like a few hours, it's done. Mm-hmm. The Apple iOS kicks it out of memory, and it can't back up anymore. So maybe this is his issue, although it would apply to videos and stills as well. If you want Google Photos to do the right thing, it needs to be opened every once in a while. It doesn't back up. In fact, you probably noticed that when you open it up, it'll have that little... round arrow that shows that they haven't been backed up or it's in the process of backing up. You'll see it starts immediately as soon as you open it up. That is just in the nature of the iPhone. It's one of the reasons, and you probably noticed this, you had the Android phone that has the best battery life out there, and the iPhone, at least the 7 Plus, is far superior. One of the reasons you can have the iPhone, I use 20% a day sometimes, be so good is Apple's very aggressive about taking stuff out that's not being used. It turns off background apps. You may say, well, I see all these apps here in the background, but those recents are not running necessarily. Apple's very aggressive about that. Really, only Apple apps can kind of stay in the background all the time.
Yeah, I think I've got another email from Jonathan who was having the same problem. He had 2,964. Like, so you probably have a lot. Is it possible that Google Photos does all the photos first and then goes back and does the video?
Yeah, possibly, yes.
So it might, I mean, you said you just switched. It might just be you have to wait and, like you said, keep it open.
What I would do is open it up as you go to bed, plug it in, open it up as you go to bed, and leave it open. And that let it get a really good start on Wi-Fi on a high-speed connection. That'll help. And
what about,
once you're all caught up, I've not had any problems.
What about opening it on a computer?
That's another thing you can do. So Google Photos, Google Drive, all the Google apps have standalone apps for computers, Mac and PC. You go to photos.google.com and download it, or music.google.com or drive.google.com. Download the desktop app and then install it, and it will back up your apps. There you go. Automatically from your desktop, and that doesn't have the same backgrounding problem. That'll keep running forever, and you'll check when you have new photos in your albums. The problem is, unless you back up your iPhone photos separately from your iPhone backup, it won't even see those photos, right? Because that's your desktop.
What do you know about your DNA?
Well, one day I spit into a vial, and actually, this is the best thing ever. We're going to give 23andMe to our in-laws for Christmas, and I think other family members as well, because it's really cool. So 23andMe is genetic analysis, right? It's affordable, it's easy, and it tells you a lot about yourself. You see in the ads, you've probably seen people talk about how they learn about their ancestry. You know, like I'm like 3% Neanderthal, things like that. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's
that.
Pardon me?
I knew that.
Let me sign into my 23andMe, and I can show you my my ancestry. It's kind of cool. The reason. I particularly think that's cool. I did 23andMe a few years ago before it was widely known or widely agreed. It's only recently that people thought that Homo sapiens, our species, could have cross-mated with Homo neanderthalensis. That's only recently learned. For a long time, scientists thought we were separate species that couldn't interbreed, and we wiped them out. So they were quite surprised to learn, and it was only about 5 or 6 years ago that no, in fact, we crossbred. And now we can actually see the genetic marker of the Neanderthals. They found Neanderthal DNA and were able to analyze it and then analyze Homo sapiens, human DNA, and say, whoa, there's Neanderthal DNA in there. And this is what's cool. That was not available when I first signed up for 23andMe. But over time, more and more of my information, you know, they're always adding to things that you learn about yourself. The other thing that's great about 23andMe is when you get, the more people use it, I want everybody to sign up for 23andMe, the more people use it, the more likely you will be, you'll find out about relatives, long-lost relatives. I found a second cousin through 23andMe.
We should also, you're so excited about your DNA, we forgot to mention they're a sponsor, but we should probably say that.
Well, we get the big sponsorship bill
if you're
banner
listening,
up there. This is an advertisement. It really is very cool. You'll find out where your people came from. I'm just going to log into mine because I can. It's, I think, more useful if I show you my actual ancestry. You, of course, you keep this all private. Only you can know. You don't have. You don't share it really. And but if you want, you could say, "I would like for people to know if I'm related to them." That's a setting as well. Oh, look, my genetic weight report. I think I don't want to read that right now. sleep practices survey. What's the story of your paternal line? You want to know? I could find out what my dad's haplogroup is. Now, I think as a woman, you might have to get your dad to do this. To find out what your paternal haplogroup is. I can't remember. There's certain limitations that between men and women.
My dad's fine sharing his haplogroup. He shares with everyone.
So, okay, this is really cool. So, let's start recently. So, it shows the ancestral path and where it forked off 25,000 years ago in Western Asia. So, these are my ancestors moving around all over the world, going back to the original origination in East Africa. This is just phenomenal. I've got Ashkenazi Jewish blood. I didn't know that. I had no idea about that. So this is my information. The other thing you could do at 23andMe is you can actually download your raw genetic data. So you always have access to your data, and you can if you have know somebody who's got a big computer, you can have them find out more. You know what? How much? Let's look at my caffeine composition report. It's very affordable. There's no blood, no needles or anything. You literally just spit into a little vial. You mail it back in the kit that came with it. You'll get your results online within 6 to 8 weeks. I'm more likely to drink more caffeine than average, if I drink caffeine at all. So the average is 256 milligrams. There's a genetic marker. There's a genetic marker right here. That's in my DNA. There's so much stuff. I just love the ancestry reports, the family reports. This is a really cool thing, and it's a great gift. So that both Lisa and I have done this, but now we want to give it to other family members and add them kind of to all of this. There is 100+ archived reports. DNA, look, they found 1,197 relatives. This goes up all the time as more and more people used 23andMe. This guy, it says, would be a second cousin. And you know how I know? That's true. That's my grandmother's maiden name.
Oh.
My grandmother's maiden name. So because we have 3.4% of DNA overlapping, and this is only because he took 23andMe as well and said, yes, you can reveal my information to other 23andMe members and now to the world. Research insights. I participate in 23andMe in research. You don't have to, but you can. So I answer questions. That adds, you don't have to do this, but I like to do this because it helps them say, oh, here's a genetic marker that will tell you something about how easily I cry. And by collecting information from other members, they could start to say, we think this is related to this. So in other words, they're learning what these... this is the coolest thing ever. 23andMe.com/twit. If you're at all kind of biology or scientific inclined, this is the most fun ever. And the neat thing is there's constantly more information coming out all the time. You're learning more all the time. As they learn more all the time. 23andMe.com/twit. I have to answer some more questions here so I can... this is so cool. And I have to say they've made it even more, I think, scientifically valuable by having... Look, I contributed to 13 published discoveries. Nearsightedness, skin cancer risk, the genetics of being a morning person.
Mm, I don't think...
Guess what?
You aren't one.
I didn't need no test to tell me that. So 23andMe.com/twit. Get it done. And then it's so much fun. And then get your family members, too. Get everybody involved. And we thank 23andMe for supporting the show. They actually paid for the hats for today's episode.
Why are we wearing hats, Leo?
Just because they look so damn good.
They do.
They make us look a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
And we wear them, we call them our app caps, but we wear them to celebrate a great app for the week. Why don't you start?
All right. Well, did you ever use the Lonely Planet travel books?
Love it. I still use them. Religiously.
Did you know you could make your own?
Make my own?
They have a new app. It's called Trips for Lonely Planet.
So if you're really lonely.
Yeah. And it's better on the iPhone, but I will show it to you on my iPad. Here it is. So I have followed several people who have their trips, so I can look at these people. Let's see, Melbourne's Best Coffee. And if... Want to grab a great coffee in Melbourne?
Sure.
Yes, I do. And then I can look through that. Sure. And so there's a description. This is just by a user, just by someone who knows their Melbourne coffee. And I can do my own. So I did over the weekend, Huck and I walked down to the Golden Gate Bridge and walked over and we took several pictures. So I created this trip. And I uploaded it. So here I added this. It was our Saturday staycation, and I added my photos, and I even added video. So I took a picture. If you look up when you're walking across the Golden Gate Bridge, it's a little terrifying. Hopefully you can hear my sound as well here, because you can hear what it sounds like. Can you hear that?
So this is actually from your trip.
Yeah, that was from my trip.
That's
and
cool.
And so it's videos and also... audio and yeah, so I want to add another trip. I go there.
So it's really, this is, remember I was asking before our last vacation for a travel journal.
Yeah, this is good. And you can share it publicly or you can share it privately. Nice. So let me look back to
Leo's Lonely Planet.
So here's some pictures from the Kendrick Lamar concert, if someone wanted
to. Did you go to see the Kendrick Lamar concert?
I did. Concert? I took Annabella and I went with my friend
Abby
Kelly.
Abby was there too. She
really?
Loved
Here?
It. Yeah.
In Oakland?
Yeah, she was so excited
it
to
go. It was great.
I didn't know you knew Kendrick Lamar.
I don't know him personally, but I don't even
you
know
like
the
his
words
music?
To the...
But Annabella likes his
she,
music.
I like his music.
I love his
I
music.
I like his music. Yeah. And it was, yeah. So then there it is. And it added that. It just said, Oakland, one place, one day. I can change
Fun.
The cover. I could add a... it adds the map there. I can add more content. And then it's shared. I could either share it publicly or privately. So post now or post privately instead. Trips by Lonely Planet.
I'm going to do that.
Everyone wants to know what it's like to go to the Kendrick Lamar concert.
Absolutely. I hope you have some music on there.
I don't know if you can add music, but I was thinking that his song DNA would be a great backup to your ad.
From now on, we'll do that with 23andMe.
Why are you wearing those glasses?
I can't see a thing. I'm ready for the eclipse. It's coming August 21st. The total eclipse of the sun. It'll be total in a... this is the first time since 1979 that much of the United States or a large swath of the United States would be able to see a total eclipse of the sun. It's very exciting. I don't know if you remember, but about 8 years ago, I went down to Australia, to Cairns, to see the total eclipse down there.
I do remember.
It's an amazing experience. But now you can just go to Oregon or Washington or Florida. There's a band across the United States that will be able to see totality. Here in Northern California... we'll get about 71% totality. That's going to be a significant darkness and significant eclipse. A real important point that I will start off with is you've got to protect your eyes. It's tempting as the sun gets darker, to look at the sun. It's really only safe to look when it's completely in darkness, which means most people in the United States should have some sort of eye protection or just not look at the sun. These are eclipse glasses. These are the real deal. This is another little public service announcement. Amazon was selling some of these, and they were counterfeit.
Oh.
They claimed to be effective. They even had the ISO 12312-2 filters for direct observation of the sun marked on there. That's the special, the standard for these. But they were lying.
How can they do that? You could
well
burn
Amazon's
your eyeballs
Amazon's
out.
Refunding money to everybody who bought them, so you will have a refund. Not that that's the issue. I mean, these aren't expensive. They're paper glasses. The issue is if you thought they were safe and you looked at the sun and they weren't, you literally could blind yourself. At the very least, you'll create a dead spot, a blind spot in your eyes where the sun hits. This kind of information is important. Now, some of us will be able to go. John, our studio manager, John Slonina, is going to Washington State.
Oregon.
Yeah, if you went to Washington, you'd miss it. So he's going to Oregon to watch it. I've been reading among my Twitter feeds and others. Some people are going to Idaho to watch it.
Jason Snell is going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's so great. So here's a couple of apps. There are a lot of eclipse apps, but John, who's our eclipse expert, recommended these two from the Smithsonian. Of course, the Smithsonian's going to be a good place. They call it Eclipse 2017. And this gives you a countdown until first contact in Oregon. John, you only have 5 days, 22 hours, 52 minutes, 56 seconds, John. Better get packing. Some recent views of the sun, an interactive eclipse map. This might be the first place you want to go to see if you can see a totality. You see, we're going to get 77% here. But you want to go somewhere probably in this if you're in the U.S. in this band. But, of course, there's other places, too. Well, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I think it's really pretty much the U.S. That's where you're going to want to be. You get the start time. So here it'll start at 9 in the morning on Monday. The maximum time, which would be 10:15 for us, and the end. But it's different for everywhere. So if we zoom in and we go to somewhere in Oregon where John's going to be and tap that, this is going to be an area of totality. You want to go somewhere where it's clear, right? You don't want to get any clouds. John picks somewhere where it's clear most of the time this time of year. And then you'll see the exact time where the maximum is, 10:22. So that's very handy. So that's the first thing. Mitchell, Oregon, you guys are lucky. But you can also see what the sun's looking like right now. And watch live streams of the eclipse. This is NASA's live stream. So most of us will probably be standing outside looking through glasses at the eclipse in our area, but you might want to see totality in the NASA live stream. Here's more about the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory. Eclipse Viewing and Safety Guide, absolutely a must read. You got to know. And we've all been talking about this so much, I think probably the word has gotten out. Do not look directly at it.
Well, we were talking about this last night at the dinner table, and my kids didn't know. They were like, why? And so I was like, oh, tell your kids.
Tell your kids. Because those are the ones who are going to look at it, right? They're gonna want to look at that. So the best place, if you don't have this app, would be to go to NASA's eclipse2017.nasa.gov. That's a very good site about the eclipse and also has a viewing and safety guide. This is another app here. This is Total Solar Eclipse from the San Francisco Exploratorium, which we love. It starts right at the key spot, which is that map that we talked about. And we can even see a very exciting, epic video of the eclipse. The Exploratorium is great at popularizing science. I think that's good. But that's the sneak peek. There's a video guide, when to watch and where to watch, too. This will be another source of streams that you can watch about eclipses, about the Exploratorium, and I'm glad to share information. Both of these are free, incidentally. You don't have to pay money for them. A couple of useful apps for you to get ready for the big eclipse. It's coming Monday. If you had to pick one, John says, get the Smithsonian Eclipse 2017 app. That has all the information you'll need.
And where did you get those glasses?
John got them online, Amazon. Right?
Oh.
Amazon?
Because they were available at the library, and they were available at 7-Eleven.
Better to get it maybe from the library, right? And so you purchased elsewhere. Are your glasses legit? Have a look. Okay, so this is on a site called eclipseglasses.com. But, John, I'm only a little worried about this because they're selling eclipse glasses, and they say you can tell... And that's where I don't know if all of the bad glasses will have these particular attributes.
It's a good site.
It's a good site, John says. This is where he got his eclipseglasses.com. It's NASA related? All right. So, John, these are rounded.
Yes, rounded is good.
Rounded is good.
Right?
Round good.
Rounded is good.
Rounded is good.
You don't want the square corners. Well, I see, John, those look like that. You see what I'm saying?
They look like this.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll just be wearing these until...
I just think they're fashionable.
Next.
It looks like you've just
Monday.
Been to the eye doctor.
Yeah.
Anyway, that concludes this episode of iOS Today. We're all getting very excited. We won't be back until after the eclipse.
Yes.
We do the show Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. That would be 1600 UTC thereabouts. Leo time. That means really any time within 2 hours of that, plus or minus. No, we'd love it if you come by and watch live and join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv.
Can I say something else?
Yeah.
We're doing a digital cleanse on the new screensavers.
That is good.
Mm-hmm.
That
Hashtag
is good.
Digital cleanse.
So you're going to tweet it as you do it?
Yes. So 10 weeks, come cleanse with me. We're getting rid of my notifications. This week we're going to manage our email inboxes.
Oh, good.
And so we have 10 weeks planned. So you got to
join
me.
At the end of this 10 weeks... Mm-hmm. What will we how will we feel fresh, light, and new?
We will feel like there's a load off.
Yes.
We will feel like we are living our best lives.
We are. We will be. Anyway.
We'll feel something, hopefully. So, but you got to do it with me.
And watch that on the new Screensavers. Mm-hmm. That's our Saturday show. You can get all the shows, new Screensavers and iOS Today at twit.tv. For this show, it's twit.tv/iOS. It comes out right after we finish the show. Give us a couple hours to edit it and take out the bad words and the weird parts and the part where Leo... never mind. You can get that probably, I would say, by, Tuesday afternoon at iOS, twit.tv/iOS. And, of course, then you don't have to worry about that at all if you just pick out your favorite podcast app and subscribe. Just subscribe. That way you'll always have... iOS Today in your inbox. If you want to ask a question or make a comment or a suggestion, just email Megan at twit.tv. And if you want to send us a video, I would love to get more videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Record something. Make it 30 seconds. Not too long because we can't play something too long. Put your first name and city at the beginning. Don't tell us your last name or your exact geographic location. And upload it to, say, YouTube or a place like that and send us the link. That way we can use it on the show. Thank you, Megan. Megan Maroney.
Thank you, Leo Laporte.
Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time on iOS Today.